Luke chapter 22. Now, how quickly we are apt to forget things, aren't we? We're very quick to forget things. If you ask us what we ate a month ago on a Sunday, we couldn't even tell you. We can't even recall. If you ask us to list all our meals that we ate last week, we probably could not recall them all. We're so quick to forget things. So quick. And we're quick to forget things that happened last week. We're quick to forget things that happened yesterday, aren't we? We're quick to forget things that happened last month, last year. 5 years, 10 years, we forget so much, so much. The name of the message is Remember God's Mercy. Remember God's Mercy. I was talking to a brother in Christ this week about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought up a wonderful point which spurred me to the sermon. I had a whole nother sermon ready. I had a whole nother message ready. But just the conversation with our dear brother spurred me to this whole message here about remembering what Christ has done for us. Because again, we're so prone to forget. I remember a missionary friend of mine, he once said, the reason we have to keep hearing the gospel is because we forget. We forget about the wonderful things that Christ has done for us. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in our days and how quickly our minds are consumed with the things of the day, the things of the world even, right? Especially in the times we're living in now. We're living in, for our lives, unprecedented times, right? Uncertain times right now we're living in. We're seeing things with this pandemic that we've not seen. And the unrest in our country and the unrest in the world, my. But for the believer, we have to keep our eyes on Christ. And you've heard me say this many times. That's the hardest thing for us to do as believers, just to look to Christ. So we have to be reminded through the preaching of the gospel of the great things that Christ has done for us. That he who holds our souls, he who has obtained eternal redemption for us, the scripture says, is the very one who holds all things going on in this world. And he's in control of everything. There's nothing, there's not a maverick molecule in this universe. Not one. He's in control of everything. And it all moves and has its being, all life moves and has its being in Christ. In Christ alone. And our dear brother also brought forth that the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, right? What does it say? Do this in remembrance of me. So even when we have the Lord's Supper, we're remembering the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of his people. It's constantly being brought before us. In the preaching of the gospel, it's constantly being brought before us as believers. It's being brought before the lost, and it's being brought before believers. And there's two different outcomes there, right? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel comes and it just blesses the Lord's people. It just blesses them. And then the unsaved, the lost, I remember being in this state, you just don't even hear anything. You hear the preacher's words, but there's nothing going in the heart, is there? Nothing. So it's Christ and Christ alone who saved us from our sins, isn't it? It's Christ and Christ alone who saved us from our sins. And we are to remember this wonderful truth, the wonderful truth that Jonah proclaimed. Salvation is of the Lord, period. Right? It's of the Lord. From beginning, he's the Alpha in our salvation to the end. He's the Omega in our salvation. And he's everything in between. He's the beginning, he's the author of our salvation, and he's the finisher of our salvation. Scriptures declare this plainly, and we are to remember this as believers. Because I'll tell you what, it doesn't take long. You get out in the world. You get out in the world. You get caught up in the world. You get caught up in the things of the world. And it doesn't take long for the world to start crowding out things in the Lord. And you start to forget. That's what the brother I was talking to mentioned. He says, all these things that keep people busy. And there's tons of distractions, isn't there? And what might distract you might not distract me. But what distracts me might not distract you. But we're flesh, aren't we? So we have to come, and we constantly are reminded of the wonderful things that Christ has done for us. Constantly. And that's what the preaching of the gospel does. It brings forth the great work of salvation, the complete, finished work of Christ. It brings it before the hearers. Let's look here in Luke chapter 22. Look what our Lord says here. Luke chapter 22. We're all familiar with these words. We read these words during communion. And look what our Lord says here with us. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. He's at the Last Supper with his disciples here. And he says in verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, he's desired to eat this because he already knows it's going to happen, right? He's God incarnate in the flesh. The whole reason he came to this world was to die for the sins of his people. He already knows he has to suffer. The scriptures declare in Isaiah that he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. He's ready to go. He's on a mission. And the whole mission is to save, as a believer, if you're a believer, you could say, the whole reason he came, his whole mission was to save my soul. Oh, praise be his name. Praise his mighty name. He did that for me. Every believer can say that. It's wonderful. Look at this, he says, though. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he knew he was going to suffer. He knew. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is, look at this, given for you. He's sinless. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's going to give his life. He's going to suffer on Calvary's cross. The wrath of God for the sins of his people is going to be poured out upon him. He's going to suffer for his people. Look at that. And break it and give unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. He's going to give his life for his people. We can read this and know that this is speaking of us as believers too. Look at this. This do in what? Remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. And he says, likewise, also take the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is what? Shed for you. Look at that. He's going to give his life on Calvary's cross. And he says, I'm going to shed my blood for you. Now, every believer can take that home, can't we? We know he's speaking to the 12, but we know that's true of every single sheep of God that God gave to Christ in the eternal covenant of grace. Wonderful. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. You know, our Lord walked in this earth, didn't he? And he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he walked without sin. But he knows how frail we are. He knows how prone we are to forget. So he's given us his blessed word that we can remember. We can remember. That we can see the great things that God has done for his people. Israel's just a picture of the church, isn't it? He took care of Israel all through the wilderness. We see that he parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea for them. And they walked through on dry ground. He fed them. He fed them quail. He fed them manna from heaven. He watched over them. He led them into the promised land. And he did it all for them. And that's just a picture of how he leads us out of Egypt, which is the picture of the world. And he's going to take us right to the promised land, beloved. He can take us right there. He's ever with us. He's with us now. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's with us. He's with us. Now, the Greek word for remembrance there, in the text, the Greek word there means to remind. To remind. Remembrance, a commemoration. It also means a memorial is applied to the Lord's Supper. In remembrance of me means that the particular, or that the person should remember Christ and should remember the sacrifice that Christ has done for them. So it's a continual remembrance for us as believers of what Christ did for us, what he did on Calvary's cross for us. And we're going to get to that. That's wonderful news for sinners. There's no better news than what Christ did on the cross for sinners. And we who are the people of God should remember the greatness of the sacrifice of Christ. It was a great sacrifice because he's a great God. And the sacrifice is by none other than God himself in the flesh, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And this should cause the believer, it should cause us to abstain from sin, shouldn't it? That's why I always say the love of Christ constrains us from sin. We don't desire to do the things that we used to do. Well, we still do because we're sinners, but now we struggle with sin. You know, sin was never a problem before the Lord saved me. I didn't even think about it. Didn't even bother me. We talked about that. Yeah, didn't bother me. Now it bothers me. It bothers me more. My own sin bothers me more than anybody else's sin. I'll tell you that. And again, I'm going to ask you, I've asked you many times, ask yourself this question. Do you sin more than you want to? Oh yeah, we do, don't we? Oh yeah, we do. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 10. We'll just look at one verse over here in Numbers chapter 10. And then I'll read a few other scriptures too. Numbers chapter 10. Now look at this. Numbers chapter 10, the Old Testament. And we know the Old Testament just testifies of Christ, doesn't it? Oh, the law and the prophets, they testify of the Savior. They testify of him. Look at this, Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you a memorial, a remembrance. That's a remembrance, a memorial. Before your God, I am the Lord your God. Look at that. Oh my. Now Psalm 38, if you read Psalm 38 on your own time, it's a whole psalm about remembrance of the Lord. As is all the scriptures, right? All the scriptures. All the scripture, you know, this whole book is history. This whole book is history. Everything in this book is history. It tells us about what Christ has done for us. The whole book. The whole book. So when a man preaches the gospel to you, he's preaching the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching to you what Christ has done. He's preaching what Christ has done. My, oh my. And then our dear brother again brought forth that the reason we come to church is to remember Christ, to remember what he's done for us. In the midst of this busy, busy world, in the midst of work, in the midst of family, in the midst of the things in this world going on, this will cause us for a time to stop and forget about the things going on in the world and to focus on Christ and to focus on him alone. All those things. That's why I pray, Lord, press those things out of our mind. Lord, help us to just come here and press all these things out of our minds that's going on. And help us to focus on you. So we come to church to hear the gospel. we come to remember the wonderful things that God has done for his people. We come to recollect what Christ has done for his people. And the preacher stands up and proclaims what Christ has done. The fact that he came to this sin-cursed world to redeem his people from their sins. The fact that he went to Calvary's cross and he bled and he died and he cried, "It is finished." And the salvation of God's people is finished. The fact that he was raised for our justification. And the fact, as we looked at last Sunday night, that he's risen up into glory. And this same Jesus who you see going up, he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Praise his mighty name. And we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. All of them. All of them. Here are some verses and scriptures if you want to write them down with the word remembrance in them. I won't have us turn to all of them. There's a few words here, but I'll just read and give you the addresses. Just a couple verses here with the words remembrance in them. And they'll cause us to rejoice as believers. Cause us to think about the great work of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this accomplished, finished work of all the elect of all the ages. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Remember that our God is holy. Remember that he's holy. He's holy. Psalm 102, verse 12, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations." See, his gospel will be preached and proclaimed generation to generation to generation. As long as he tarries, his word will go forth in power, beloved. Here, raise up preachers to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he wills. And in John chapter 14, verse 26 says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you," what? "Your remembrance." That's the words of the Master. He says the Holy Spirit will bring all these things to your remembrance. That's why we rejoice in our spirit when we hear the gospel preached. That's why we rejoice when we're singing about the great things. Glory to his name. That's why we rejoice. Because even in those words, we're remembering the great things that Christ has done for us. And it's marvelous. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read verses... Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read verses 30 to 33. And look at this too. Now, the believers, we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians on Wednesday nights, and those believers at Thessalonica were being persecuted by their own countrymen. We know that from the text as we've journeyed through that book. It's just a wonderful study. And they've been persecuted by their own countrymen. And we know that the churches in Judea were persecuted by their own countrymen because Paul writes the saints at Thessalonica and tells them, "You're going through the same thing as the churches at Judea," because they're being persecuted by their countrymen too. Now, when the Lord saves a man or a woman, they're going to go through persecution. They will. There's no doubt. It's going to come. It's either going to come from friends or family. It's going to come from places you didn't even expect it to come from. It's going to come. It's going to come. Look at this, though, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 to 33. For we know him that has said, "Vengeance belongs unto me." Vengeance belongs unto the Lord. That's what it says. "I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance." Look at this. "Call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated," after you're born again, "ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Man, people turned against you and your family, your friends that you didn't even expect. Because the Lord said, "I'm come to divide," didn't he? Remember? He said, "So I'm going to divide families. I'm going to divide," right? I remember going through this when the Lord saved me. I remember family members saying, "I don't want to be around you anymore." Yeah, we've talked about that too. Yeah. So remember the former days. Call to remembrance. Remember those former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. partly while she were made a gazing stock. They looked at us and said, what in the world happened to them? Well, praise be to God, I'm saved. I'm born again by the Holy Spirit of God. But we were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches, reproaches, and afflictions, and partially, while you became companions of them that were so used. Don't be surprised, because it happened to our brothers and sisters in the past. Don't ever be surprised by things. It's happened for years and years and years. My, oh, my. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Look what's written over here. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Now, many of the Psalms are poetic records of God's mercy towards his ancient people and calling upon God's people to bless and praise his glorious name. And again, Israel forms a mirror in which we can see our own spiritual history, the spiritual history of God's elect. Look what it says over here, though, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Look at that. Peter, he says, I'm not going to neglect to put in remembrance before you, Christ. Christ. Look what he says. Of these things, though you know them, you know them, but I'm going to keep putting them in front of you. I'm going to keep putting them in front of you. God's people know the gospel, don't we? Yeah, we know, we've been taught. Peter's saying, I'm going to just keep putting that in front of you, even though you know it. I'm going to keep putting the gospel in front of you. Remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Even though you're established in the present truth, you still need to hear it. Why? Because we're so prone to forget. We're so prone to get busy in this world. We're so prone to let the things of this world just crowd out the things of Christ. So Peter says, I'm going to just keep putting these right in front of you. And we know Paul did the same thing, didn't he? He says, I'm determined what? To preach Christ and him crucified. He's saying the same thing. I'm just going to keep putting Christ before you. And that's what every gospel preacher does. We just put Christ before you. Praying that the Holy Spirit would use to just edify you and build you up and to draw in the lost sheep. Oh, Lord, please. Please save your people. We know you will, but oh, please draw in the lost, Lord. Draw them in if it be your will. Look to Christ, we cry. Look to Christ and live. Look to Christ and live. We call the sinner to look to Christ and live. Look to him and live. There's no hope anywhere else but Christ and Christ alone. It says, yea, I think as meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. So Peter's saying, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Look at that. He says, as long as I'm alive, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to put Christ in front of you. I'm going to stir you up with Christ. That's what he's saying. I'm just going to keep again, remembrance, remembrance, remember. We come here to remember the wonderful things Christ has done. And the gospel preacher just keeps putting Christ in front of you for you to remember. Man, when I listen to a message, when I get so stirred up, Lord brings to remembrance. He saved my soul. Oh, praise God. Praise God. He didn't leave me in that pit where I was. He saved my soul. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Oh, boy. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 136. Let's fix our eyes upon a verse in the Psalms here. Psalm 136. Now this whole psalm is about how God's mercy endures forever. Think how long-suffering the Lord Jesus Christ is with his people. He is long-suffering with us, isn't he? Oh my. Think of how long-suffering he was with the people of Israel. Going through that desert. Said, these people are stiff-necked people. Moses said, these people are stiff-necked people. And the Lord just kept having mercy on them, didn't he? Oh my. Just kept having mercy on them.
Look at this, though. Let this just warm your heart today. If you're a believer in Christ, let this warm your heart. That God's mercy endures forever. His steadfast love towards you is unceasing. His mercy towards you is eternal. Look at this. Let's fix our eyes on verses 23 and 24 here. Look at this. Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Now look at that in verse 23. Who remembered us in our lowest state. God looked upon us in our fallen, helpless, hopeless state in Adam. He remembered us. He remembers his people. He'll never forget them, will he? Because his eternal love is set upon them. And look at that, he remembered. Now let's consider our lowest state. Let's consider the lowest state that we were in when God found us. And then consider on the side, as this verse finishes, his mercy endures forever. Forever. Let's consider our lowest state by birth and by nature. When Adam fell in the garden, we all fell in him. He is our federal head. The theologians call it our federal head. Just means that we were in Adam. And we fell in him. We are the seed of Adam. The seed of man, right? Remember who Christ is. He's the seed of the woman. There's a big difference there. He's sinless. He's perfect. We're conceived in sin. And we're sinners. When Adam fell, we fell with him. We were ruined by the fall. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Absolutely dead, spiritually. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Separated from God by our sins. The scripture declares at enmity, which means hatred toward God. By wicked works. And if anyone denies that, they're calling God a liar. Because God himself has said, we were at enmity in our minds with God by wicked works. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Look at this. Again, anyone who says they were not at enmity with God before they were saved, they are calling God a liar. They do not know the depths of their sin. They do not know the depths of the sinfulness of man. Because God himself in the scriptures declared that we were at enmity with God. Look at this, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those who are not born again mind the things of the flesh. Those who are born again mind the things of the Spirit. And don't forget, we have a civil war within us. We have a battle within us that we've never had now, because the flesh is now battling the Spirit. Oh my. And if anyone who says, well, I don't have that... Well, I wonder if you're born again, because we have a battle. We have a war within us.
My, oh my. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, look at this, and this is God's word, because the carnal mind, the natural state of man, is what? Enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. It's in constant rebellion against the Lord. And if they don't say in their words that they hate God, I know by my actions before the Lord saved me, I was telling God I hated him. By my very actions, by my very disobedience, I had. And we can all testify to that, can't we? We may not have verbalized that, but oh my, by our actions, it was true. And that's what the scripture says. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, the natural mind, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at that. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you know that you and I, saved and lost, cannot please God in our flesh by anything we do? You know what? But praise be to God. The believer in Christ is in Christ. He's clothed in the royal righteousness of Christ. So when God looks upon a saved sinner, he sees us in Christ. Clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Right now. Right now. Isn't that wonderful? So our text here, that text in Romans and in our text in Psalms there, brings before us our low estate by birth. Our low estate by birth, by nature. And we're laid low by our sin, aren't we? When Adam fell, we were ruined by the fall, beloved. Sin is so much a part of us, our minds, our bodies. And you know, man in the natural state are by nature so low that we can't be any lower. We're just depraved sinners. Just depraved sinners. And you know, it's only the restraining hand of God that doesn't let man just go. You know, all these riots going on and this stuff, just think it would be like if the Lord just let it all go. He's restraining even that. Yeah, glory be to his name for restraining. Restraining. My, oh my. We are so vile and so weak in our natural state. We have no ability to change the situation that we're in. When we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, we have no ability to change that state by anything we do. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The lowest state that the scripture said there, that's our lowest state. And think of how high God is. Think of his holiness. And we are so low in our natural state. There's such a separation. And we can't gap the separation on our own, can we? No. But think of this. In our natural fallen state, we are also God's determined foe, according to that what we just read there in Romans. We're his determined foe. We're at enmity with him in our natural state. And then consider the law of God in natural man, because natural man's condemned by the law of God, right? And the law of God shows us our sinfulness, right? It does. But praise be to God, for the believer, we're showing the balm of Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. It's in him and alone. And in the world, man is enslaved to sin. And that's how we came into this world, enslaved in sin. We're enslaved by its customs. We're enslaved by the spirit of the world. Just look at natural man. See how they're enslaved. They're enslaved to sin. They've been led captive by Satan and sin. And look at man in general, natural man.
See how in their very associations with their fellow creatures, look at their craftiness, look at their cruelty to one another. You don't have to look very far, do you? Just read the newspapers. Well, now it's read the internet. Go on the internet and look at the news on the internet. Look at how wicked man can be to one another. Look at how man exalts themselves in their accomplishments also, boasting in their own self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness is a killer for all of us. We can all be self-righteous. My, but natural man is full of self-righteousness. They have no care for God. They have no care for the glory of God. Did you care for the glory of God before he saved you? Now, granted, some of you grew up in the church. You heard about those things, but did you care about them? No. One brother in our midst told me he couldn't wait to get out of here when he turned 18. He couldn't wait to get out of here. He didn't know Christ. But my, oh my. So what a hopeless, helpless state we're in. Let's go back to Psalm 136:23. If we were left there, oh my, we'd be in despair, wouldn't we? We'd be in absolute despair if we were left there. We'd be in absolute despair. Let's go back to Psalm 136:23. Again, why do we come here? To remember. To remember what Christ has done for us. To hear again the gospel preached and proclaimed. Look at Psalm 136:23. Who remembered us in our lowest state. Now remember, God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Right? And those, the Lamb, Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, so it's all been planned and purposed by God that there's going to be a Redeemer. And the Scripture says here, who remembered us in our lowest state. Now we saw the state that we were in just by the Scriptures we looked at and we already know what state we were in if God saved us. We know. We know we were helpless, hopeless, and we're just lost. Look at this. Who remembered us in our lowest state. God remembered his people. You know, he's never forgotten us. But even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were at enmity with God, he remembered us. Look at that. Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. Now see that word remembered in verse 23? In the Hebrew it means to mark. I love that. To mark. To mark. God's people are a chosen people. To mark. So as to be, and in the Hebrew it says to mark so as to be recognized. God knows his people. He knows his sheep. He knows who every one of his sheep are through all the ages of this world. Now, we cannot tell the sheep of God apart, can we? No, we can't. We have no idea until the Lord saves one. Oh, my. We cannot tell the sheep apart from the goats in our natural state, but God knows. God knows every one of his sheep. Every one of them. And the definition in Hebrew continues with this. To remember by implication, to mention, be mindful, recount, record. Think of that in light of how God's people's names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Recorded. In the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? As one commentator said, he's written our names in indelible ink, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. And God's people's names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternity. And God remembers them. He remembers them in their lowest state. My. So we can see then how God's mercy truly endures forever. It endures forever towards his people. God's mercy is and was from eternity freely fixed upon his people. Now take that home if you're one of God's elect. His love and his mercy has been freely and fully fixed upon you from eternity. Now that's almost too much for our minds, isn't it? That's almost too much for our little finite minds. Because, and I say it all the time, it leaves you in awe, doesn't it? It's almost too much for us to fathom. But it's true. Because his mercy endures forever. 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 And it's distinguishing mercy. It's distinguishing mercy too. Look at verse 24 and remember what Christ has done for you. Remember what Christ has done for you as a born-again, blood-washed believer. Look at this. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Christ has redeemed his people. He's redeemed us from our sins. What was our greatest enemy? Our sins. Right? Our sins. Our greatest enemy. They condemn us. Every one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's everybody in this world in a natural state. There's none good. There's none that seeketh after God. That's everybody. But for God's people, he remembers us in our lowest states. And he has redeemed us, beloved. Redeemed us from our enemies. Because he regarded us in our lowest state. He regarded us in our fallen Adam. And his mercy endures forever. He remembered us. And he sent his son to die for us. Because he remembered us. And he sends us his word, didn't he? He's given us his word to instruct us. To instruct us. And he's remembered us. He sent his ordinances to comfort us. So we could remember the great things that Christ has done for us. To remind us of the finished, complete, finished sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And that's what we remember. And what does it do? It fills the people of God with great joy, doesn't it? We can leave this building rejoicing. Because we're undeserving, we didn't seek it out, and yet his mercy towards us endures forever. Unceasing. Eternal mercy. Mercy. Oh my. He remembered us and he saved us by his eternal mercy and his eternal grace. So marvel, beloved of God, that our great God remembered his mercy towards his chosen people in Christ. He remembered our guilt and he provided an atonement, a perfect sacrifice. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembers our weakness too, doesn't he? And oh, how weak we are. Oh, how weak we are. But in our weakness, what? He is strong. He is strong. We're so frail. And when we're in danger, which is often, and we were in danger. Think of this. We were in danger from our sins, weren't we? The law of God and the justice of God had a legal claim upon us. But what does God do for his people? He remembers us in our lowest state and he provides a refuge. And who's our refuge? The Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're so prone to forget, but God never forgets. He never forgets, beloved. And then think of this. He remembers us in our lowest state. This world is the lowest state, isn't it? One day we're going to be in heaven though, with him. Because of him. Because of what he's done for his people. He remembered our destitute position, our destitute state, and his love provided a perfect redeemer. A perfect redeemer. His mercy provided a perfect redeemer. His love and mercy provided a perfect substitute. And his name is our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's own Son, God incarnate in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He remembered our low estate, beloved. Oh, my. And do not forget who is the one who remembered us. His name is Elohim in the Hebrew. His name is Elohim, which means the strong one. His name is Jehovah, which means the self-existent one. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. His name is Jehovah Sekhinu, the Lord our righteousness. This is the one who's remembered us in our lowest state. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. And his mercy endures forever, and it moved him to consider us in our lowest state. Remember, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. We only know from now till the end of our lives, but he knows the end. In the beginning. Oh my. And he considered our lowest state, the lowest state of his people, and he provided the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly came here. The Son of God, the Word of God, willingly came to save his people from their sins. And none but God incarnate in the flesh could redeem God's people. Because when we consider our low, fallen estate, there was nothing we could do to save ourselves or to help ourselves. And he remembered our low estate. And he redeemed us with his own precious blood. God himself became a man. God himself, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, gave his life on Calvary's cross for his people. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Forever. Praise his name. Isn't that comforting? That's so comforting, isn't it? That's so comforting. So let we who are the people of God marvel at the mercy that's been shown us in Christ Jesus. That the mercy of God endures forever. That he considered our low estate, that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Word of God himself came to save his people from their sins. That in itself, the fact that Christ came is the greatest act of mercy this world has ever seen. The greatest act of grace that this world has ever seen. The greatest manifestation of love that this world has ever seen. That Christ came to die for the sins of his people. That the King himself gave his life for his servants and his subjects. My. My, oh my. God delights in mercy. Do you know that? Turn, if you would, to Micah. Micah chapter 7. God delights in mercy. It's never said that he delights in wrath. It's never said that he delights in judgment. No, he exercises those things because of his holiness. But you know, the scriptures does declare that God delights in mercy. Mercy. And think of that. His mercy endures forever. He delights to pardon his people. Look at this, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. And we see here, we've seen it already in that psalm, right? The steadfast love of God and the steadfast mercy of God brought forth. But look at this in Micah chapter 7. This is just wonderful. Who is a God like unto thee? Well, there's no one like Elohim, is there? He's the true and living God. Every other God that people stand up is just a little g, false gods. There's none God like our God. He's the true and living God. Who is a God like unto thee? Look at this. That pardoneth iniquity. Oh, he pardons our iniquity. How? He pardons the iniquity of his people. How? By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Oh my. It doesn't get... Mercy, like I said, this is the greatest manifestation of mercy when Christ died on the cross for his people. He pardons iniquity. He passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, and that's his elect. He retaineth not his anger forever. Now, sometimes we get mad at people, we don't let our anger go, do we? God's not like us. His ways are not our ways. He forgets. Who have we sinned against? We sinned against God, right? He forgets it for his people. It's forgiven in Christ. His anger, he doesn't retain his anger for his people, against his people, because it's already being appeased in Christ when Christ died on Calvary's cross. His wrath and his judgment against his people has been satisfied, has been extinguished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he what? Delighteth in mercy. Beloved, his mercy endures forever towards his people. He delights in mercy. He delights to show mercy to his people in Christ. He will not turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. We have a hard time forgiving someone if they sin against us. Eh? I remember in my natural state, man, I could hold a grudge for a long time. I don't do that anymore. I just tend to let things go now. Christ has forgiven me so much, it's not hard for me to forgive other people. It really isn't. It really isn't. But look at that. Here, cast all the sins of his people into the depths of the sea. John, you've been on that sea. You know how deep that sea is. You throw something in that ocean, you're never going to find it again. Never going to find it again. My, oh my. Our sins are gone. The sins of God's people are gone. Christ paid for them all. God will remember them no more against his people. Blood of Christ has cleansed us from all our sins. Hallelujah. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Forever. And he delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy to his people. He delights to show his wonderful, eternal, everlasting mercy to his chosen people. Wonder of wonders. It's said that our God is a God of great mercy, plenteous in mercy, abundant in mercy. And God's people can say, I have tasted that he is gracious. I have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I can say that. I know if you're a believer, you can say that. You tasted the Lord's gracious, haven't you? Oh my, he's so gracious. He's so wonderful. And we can testify. The born-again believer can look back in our lives and see how we were before the Lord saved us. And even know how we are after the Lord saved us. And we can say his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. So God's mercy should be the theme of our heart. We should think of it. We should speak of it. And we should sing of it. Oh, the mercy of God in Christ. And we should set God's mercy against our sins. Set God's mercy against our sins. Set God's mercy against our faults. Set God's mercy against our misery, our trials, our tribulations. And set God's mercy against what we deserve in our natural state, what we deserved for our sins. And then delight and rejoice in the freeness of God's grace and mercy in Christ towards us, towards his people. May we think upon these things this week. May we meditate upon these great truths, and may we remember the great things that Christ has done for his people. He saved us from our sins. He satisfied the mercy of God in our place. He's extinguished the wrath of God that was against us. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We who are your people, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for a complete sin atoning sacrifice which you performed on Calvary's cross. We thank you that you've saved your people by your mercy and by your grace, and that we are but recipients of this free, wonderful grace. Why? Well, we've seen today, because your mercy endures forever. Lord, let us remember this as we go back out into the world. Let us remember what we've looked at today. Let us remember that your mercy endures forever, O Lord. Keep it ever before we who are your people. And, O Lord, we just pray that you be glorified and magnified as we remember your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.